This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for joining me today. I love doing these Saturday shows. If you are newer to the podcast, we have added a third episode every week dropping on Saturday, where the only thing we are doing is diving into your questions, your challenges, and I'd love to know what is going on in your life, what's on your mind, what do you need help with. You can submit topic requests, questions, challenges, struggles, things you just want my two cents on by going to primalpotential.com/inbox. That is the best way to send in your questions to ensure that you get an answer every single Saturday. We will be going through as many of these questions as we can, and we will get to everyone. It's just a matter of when. Just go to primalpotential.com/inbox, and anything that we talk about today, any of the past episodes, resources, tools, you can find all of that on the show notes page for this episode, which is at primalpotential.com/578. primalpotential.com/578. And I'm chuckling because I'm sitting here with Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hey.
And we have a new podcast set up. So we're both wearing headphones, which is a little bit more fancy schmancy than we're used to. And everything sounds so loud. So this truck just drove by. I felt like it drove over my face.
I'm glad it didn't.
It's like so loud. I put on the headphones and I was like, whoa, the birds are really loud.
I feel like we're helicopter pilots right now.
I know. We're taking off. Here we go. Runway is clear for departure. All right. Before we get into your questions, there are some great ones today, and you can share yours, primalpotential.com/inbox. I want to let you guys know, this might be the first time that I've really officially said this, that registration is now open for the spring 12 weeks to transformation. That's right. We kick off on Sunday, April 7th. It's hard to believe spring is here. In my head, I'm like, it's still January, right? No.
I know. I can't believe we're almost done with March.
Crazy. Sunday, April 7th is when the next 12 weeks to transformation kicks off. We only open up registration 3 or 4 times a year. The reason I say 3 or 4 is because last year I took the summer off and I'm a little undecided on if we'll have a summer session or not. So spring has sprung. It is here. April 7th is our kickoff. Registration is open now. If you are curious about it, if you have questions about it, if there are things you want to know and understand, here's what you need to do. Go to primalpotential.com/transform, or you can just go to the show notes page for today's episode, primalpotential.com/578. Easy to remember because that is today's episode number. See what I did there? If you hadn't picked up on that, where those numbers come from, that's the secret sauce. But you can learn all of the details. On March 20th, I hosted a live webinar answering all of your questions about the 12 weeks to transformation, how it works, what it is, all of that good stuff. So you can check that out. But registration will be closing in just a few days because we want to make sure we get your identity journal out in the mail prior to our April 7th kickoff. So those identity journals, they've been going out every day. Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, your questions. We've got a bunch of them. What are we going to start with, Sarah?
The first question is, what are your thoughts on one meal a day, also known as OMAD?
One meal a day. So this is really interesting. I'm glad this question came up because a few weeks ago, we opened up a free Primal Potential Facebook group where lots of us are hanging out. I think there's 1,300 people in there right now just sharing the things that they're working on, sharing encouragement, inspiration, all that stuff. I pop in there about once a day. Just say hi to folks, check in with what's going on. And there have been a number of folks who appear to be following this one meal a day protocol, which if you hadn't figured out how this one meal a day thing goes, you eat just one meal a day. And somebody messaged and said, Elizabeth, what do you think about one meal a day? Well, a couple of things. It's not for me, but that doesn't mean it's not for you. I'll tell you why it's not for me, and then I'll give you my overarching thoughts. The number one reason it's not for me is because I really enjoy meals. Like I really like lunch and dinner, and I would be a little sad panda if I only, or big sad panda, but sad panda regardless, if I only got to eat one meal a day. I really like food and I'm not afraid of food. And so when I think about the way I want to eat, it has to be something that I enjoy and that feels sustainable. And I wouldn't enjoy and wouldn't feel personally for me that it was sustainable to just eat one meal a day. The other piece of it is I would have a very hard time meeting my nutrient needs and fueling my body brilliantly with just one meal a day, making sure that I'm giving my body the protein that it needs, the fat that it needs, the vitamins, the minerals, all of that in one meal. That sounds like a strategic disaster and way more thought than I want to put into one meal. And in order to pack all of that into one meal, I think I just wouldn't feel physically good about eating that much or that variety or any of that. So for those reasons, it would not work for me. That's not to say that every once in a while I don't eat one meal a day. Like surely that happens unintentionally or even intentionally. Like maybe I decide I'm going to have a longer fasting window today. And I've been doing a couple of 24-hour fasts a month during the second half of my menstrual cycle. So in the progesterone phase from ovulation to the start of my period, doing about one 24-hour fast per week. So basically that means I fast from dinner to dinner once a week. So technically that is one meal a day, but that is not something I'm striving for every day. I wouldn't like it. It wouldn't be fun for me. I would have a hard time meeting my fuel needs. And yeah, I just don't think that it is an approach that I would ever take. I am not a fan of treating nutrition like a religion. And I don't mean that in terms of like deities and gods and all of that, but rather a rule book. This is the way it has to be. And if it's not this way, I broke the rules. I feel the same way about whether it's paleo or primal or keto or intermittent fasting, that we do best when we're listening to our body and things change. It's just kind of like, I usually go to bed at this particular time and get up at this particular time. And also, there are regular exceptions to that in this thing called life. For anybody who is eating this way, who believes in this way of eating, a couple of things to keep in mind. If you catch yourself feeling proud that you only ate once, I did so well today, I stuck to my one meal a day, I would suggest a different perspective, which is, did I take impeccable care of myself today and fuel my body brilliantly? If you are thinking about food, no matter if it's one meal a day or anything else, from the perspective as of I want to eat as little as possible or as infrequently as possible, I'm going to go ahead and say that might be a little bit of a red flag. Do I think one meal a day can be done well? Sure, probably. And realistically, if we look back at our ancestors and Paleolithic times and how they evolved, they weren't sitting down for three squares. So if they were hunting, gathering, hiking, being nomads all day long, it was probably very, very common that they would routinely eat just one meal a day, but it was cyclical and seasonal. There would be times when food was very abundant and they would eat more frequently, and there would be times where food was really scarce and they would eat less frequently, and they weren't doing it as a challenge to themselves to eat as little as possible or as infrequently as possible. So the mindset behind it really matters. The goal is not to eat as little as possible. The goal is not to have the smallest, shortest, tiniest eating window possible. The goal is to make great choices and take impeccable care of yourself. I think there's going to be variability day to day. I think the healthiest people, the most successful people, allow for and welcome that variability in their day. And anybody who is thinking about this or practicing this, I would challenge you to really look at the mindset and the motivation behind it. That's what I think about one meal a day.
Well, I think this next question is something we can all relate to, or at least most of us. It says, seems I get on great streaks of self-care, and as soon as I get sick or a change in my already intense juggling act of life, matter wins over mind. How can I train myself to embrace a lifestyle even when things are tough and I'm exhausted?
I'm going to suggest a perspective shift here. Instead of, how can I train myself to embrace the lifestyle even when things are tough and I'm exhausted? I am going to embrace this lifestyle, especially when things are tough and I'm exhausted. We've talked about this a few times before, and I love coming back to it because I need this reminder. We all can have this reminder. We have to be, you know, I just wrapped up, maybe this is why it's top of mind. I just wrapped up a 4-night series. It was live, online, totally free, on becoming a change maker. And we worked through these 4 tools for creating change that feels really good, that feels really sustainable, change that lasts. And the first one was awareness. And what I would challenge you guys, all of those are available up on the blog. I'll link to them in the show notes too. So primalpotential.com/578. And you can get all 4 of those replays. But being aware of the belief system that you have about self-care and stress. And when you recognize, I have created a belief system where self-care gets put on the back burner when life gets tricky. And another perspective that is available to me is self-care is always a priority and moves even higher on the list, not lower on the list, when life gets tough. Because if we are going through a hard time, if life feels crazy, we have the power to make it more difficult or to make it easier, and that stems from how we care for ourselves. I did an episode, and I'll link to it, about how to make sure that chaos doesn't turn into crisis. And I was talking about this time earlier in January when I was moving out of my tiny house. I was closing on this new property. I was moving into this new property at the same time that I was launching a book, moving in with my boyfriend, starting a mastermind, working with a business coach, all of these things happening at once. And it wasn't, I just can't. It's too much. I don't have time. I don't have the bandwidth. It was, it matters more now than ever. Because if I were to say, oh, screw it, I just can't. It's, you know, pizza and ice cream just to survive this time. I would impair my ability to thrive. I would impair my emotional bandwidth. I would impair my energy. I would impair my perspective. This is when it matters most. When I separated from my former husband, I remember telling myself, oh my gosh, there's all these turkeys in the garden. I didn't tell myself that then. There's actually right now a bunch of turkeys in the garden. Like 1, 2, 3. I've never seen turkeys here before.
I can't see them from where I am.
Stand up. It's worth it. Do you see them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that? All right. Shiny things. Look, they're turkeys. That's so cool. Literally, they're like, what is that? 100 feet away?
Yeah.
Less than that? Spatial relations is just not my skill set. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, no, there's like a whole slew of turkeys. Wow, that's cool. Anyway, when I separated from my former husband, I remember being really tempted to just say, I can't. It's too much. I just need to survive this. And also very much aware of the fact that not taking care of myself would make it so much worse. Would make my energy worse, would make my attitude worse, would make my confidence worse. So I think this is a perspective issue. Either you tell yourself, I do really great until life gets crazy, or you tell yourself that when life is crazy, that is when I must lean in and do more. And it is our thoughts that drive our choices. What I want you to do, if this is something you can relate to, go to the show notes page for today's episode, primalpotential.com/578. And I want you to watch the Change Maker Part 2 on alignment, because this is one of those things where trying to force an output, a behavior change, is not going to give you the best results. What you need to really invest in is changing your perspective, because no matter what hacks or habits you try to implement here, if you have the same mindset, I just can't, it's too hard because of the stress, you're going to fall right into that story. So the story needs to change. That's the most important thing. So I want you to go to primalpotential.com/578, and I want you to watch Changemaker Part 2 on alignment. It'll be linked up in the bottom of the show notes page.
All right, moving on here. The next question is it wrong to feel like you need outside help to change?
I think it's brilliant to acknowledge that you desire outside help to change. Think about it. The best performers in the world have coaches. The best athletes, the best business people, the brightest minds not only accept that they can learn from people and get that support and get that help, but they are eager for it. Eager for it. This too is an opportunity to change perspective. And this reinforces the point we were making in that four-part series, that we return to these same four tools. They are really the only four tools we need. And this one is all about alignment. Instead of, is it okay or is it wrong? This is brilliant, this strategy, to say, I could do it on my own, but I could do it better and faster, more efficiently with a coach. I think it's brilliant. I have coaches. This is why I coach my clients, not because I think they can't do it on their own, right? When they get into the 12 weeks to transformation, I'm not doing something for them that they can't do for themselves. I am giving them an additional perspective. I am helping them implement tools. We can get through the hard moments so much faster with a coach. So not only do I not think it's wrong, I think it is optimal. I think that the people who really want to take it to the next level are excited about having a coach. And if you are thinking like, maybe that's what I need, this is the perfect time. This is the perfect time, because we only open up the 12 weeks to transformation 3 or 4 times a year. It's open right now. It kicks off on April 7th. Like, let's go. Life's short. Let's do it. Let's make it easier together. Yeah.
All right. The next question is, one of the excuses I always give myself is that I can't afford to eat healthy, and it doesn't feel like an excuse. I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and it's much less expensive to eat processed foods, pasta, crackers, than to buy veggies and meat and all the stuff that they say I'm supposed to eat.
I get this, because there was a time in my life when I was miserable and living paycheck to paycheck, and one of the things I bought most often at the grocery store, and like I gag a little when I think about it, was these 99-cent pot pies. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sarah?
Yeah, yeah. I do.
Like broke joke food. And I would stack the freezer. I lived with a boyfriend at the time, and ramen and 99-cent pot pies were like the thing. What I tell people is that eating well can be very expensive, and eating well can be very, very affordable. Just like eating poorly can be very, very affordable, but it can also be very, very expensive. What I found when I thought I was saving money by buying these, you know, packets of ramen noodles for 29 cents and pot pies for 99 cents, I was eating a lot more because none of it really satisfied me. You have to eat a higher volume of food for satisfaction. And so I was eating much more frequently. The volume of food I was eating was much greater. I was snacking more often. I was having treats more often. And I didn't see that necessarily, because what I was thinking about was like, well, the 99-cent pot pie is way less than a package of chicken. True. But when we look at the big picture, it doesn't have to be so. I did I think it was both a blog and a podcast about 5 meals, or maybe it was 10 meals, that were all under $1.99 each. Meals that you make at home that are super, super healthy. So The point there is that it can be done very affordably. I certainly saved a ton of money when I cut out the junk. Even though it felt like I was spending more, I was eating less, and that made a difference. I was snacking less, I was eating out less, and so even though now I buy premium products in terms of food, I still spend less on food overall than I used to without question. And also, you don't have to buy premium products. Like, get frozen broccoli from the freezer section. Get your vegetables frozen. There's so many ways to do it affordably. And I've talked a lot about this on the blog, eating well on a budget, meals under $1.99. So I will link to those in the show notes, primalpotential.com/578. And then there are other resources. In fact, I've got to pull together the audio and it won't happen for today, but maybe in the next week or so. I actually got the opportunity to talk on the phone with the founder of Thrive Market. Now, currently Thrive Market is only in the United States, but I was asking him about their mission to make great food, healthy foods without the chemicals, without the preservatives, you know, without the highly processed stuff, to make it more affordable and more accessible. And he was saying that about 60% of their customers live in what he called like healthy food deserts, meaning you don't have a Trader Joe's, you don't have a Whole Foods. And he was saying that their ability to make these things available anywhere from 20 to 50% less than what you would pay at the grocery store is because they have this membership fee. Their model is you pay an annual membership, and that is where Thrive Market makes their money instead of on the markups on the products. Now you might be thinking, well, I can't afford the membership fee. And what he was telling me is that their average customer in savings on food makes back their annual membership fee in their first 2 months if they're ordering an average of once a month, which is exceptional. So there are ways to do it affordably. Yes, you can tell yourself this story that eating well is more expensive, but there is another version of the truth, which is it does not have to be. And there are so many resources. Plus, if you are new to Thrive Market and you're like, okay, I'll give it a try, but I don't want to do, that membership fee or whatever, you can go to thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. We'll link to that in the show notes, thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. You'll get your first month free and you'll get 25% off your first order. So give it a try. It absolutely can be done in a way that you're not spending more. You're either breaking even, and in many cases, you can spend less.
This might also be a great opportunity for people to join the Facebook group too, because I keep seeing recipes over and over that are delicious and they're pretty simple and basic foods, and they last me 2 or 3 meals. Well, I don't like to cook much, so it's nice to cook once and then have, you know, dinner and then lunch the next day, and sometimes even dinner the next day. So
I love that, and that's it. We will link to the Facebook group. Sarah is so right. People are doing an amazing job of sharing their meal ideas, things that they're loving, and too, having a community of over 1,000 people where you can say, like, what are some of the ways that you save money and you make sure that you're not spending more on food? How are you spending less on food? Let the problem, let the concern, let the challenge be the beginning of the effort and not the end. Instead of like, this is the challenge, the end, therefore I can't. This is the challenge, so let me be a creative, energetic problem solver and ask for some tips, some strategies. And you definitely took the first step by asking here, and Sarah's totally right. Join the Facebook group. It's totally free. We will put the link in the show notes at primalpotential.com/578, and you can ask right there.
Okay, what is the best and most effective way to change your daily routine, such as waking up earlier and reprogramming myself in order to start my day off earlier and to be more productive? I have always been a night owl.
So there are lots of different ways to tackle this, and I am a really simple human. I have a very simple mind. I like simple strategies. I would say, what is the smallest step you can take? Maybe that is, I can get up 5 minutes earlier, or I can go to bed 5 minutes earlier than I normally would. But what is a small adjustment you can make? Or even don't change, the example given was waking up earlier, starting the day earlier. But what if the first step is starting the day better instead of starting the day earlier? I always look for easy entry points, low-hanging fruit. Okay, I'm not going to yet change the time I wake up, but I'm going to make sure that in my first 5 minutes, I am being a little bit more strategic. I am being a little bit more deliberate. I am being a little bit more proactive and less reactive. So that might look like, instead of getting up and laying in bed and scrolling through Facebook, getting up, having a glass of water, and spending 2 minutes journaling. Maybe that's where you start. But I really think that starting small is the best way to go. Now, beyond that, you can look at what is in the way. What is in the way of me doing this? And maybe you have an opportunity to change your perspective. If you're like, oh, I have these great intentions, but I'm just not a morning person. I just can't do it. Then you have a limiting belief barrier that you need to change. So go to the show notes, primalpotential.com/578, and watch Changemaker Part 2 on alignment. And start to tell yourself, every day is an opportunity. I love the mornings. I want to wake up and make myself feel amazing. It's time to prime the pump. I go into all of that stuff. And I think the priming the pump thing is something I talk about in part one on awareness. So watch them both. You need to watch all four anyway. But start small and really look at what the barrier is. If the barrier is that you are staying up too late watching TV, then maybe you give yourself an incremental television curfew or you get some blue blockers. Hello, can we talk about that for a second? Sarah's wearing hers right now. We're obsessed.
Obsessed.
Like, first of all, okay, we just need to like rave about these because as soon as I said it, we both got a huge smile on our faces. Blue blockers are these glasses that block the blue light emitted from your electronic devices. So whether that is your phone, your television, your computer, your tablet, why do we want to do that? Well, the blue light, it actually suppresses melatonin. And this is why so many people have such a hard time falling asleep, or they have that tired but wired feeling where it's like, I'm so exhausted, but I just can't wind down. A lot of that is, well, part of it is like you've worked yourself up and you need to do some work on your thoughts. But the other part of it is that the exposure to the blue light from our electronic devices suppresses melatonin, that hormone that helps us relax, unwind, fall asleep, stay asleep. Most of the blue blocker glasses out there, and I've bought a lot of them, they're hideously ugly. They're orange. You don't want to wear them if you're like trying to be cute, you know, like cuddle with your significant other and you look like a, you know, fighter pilot. It looks a little strange. Classy glasses. That's what Sarah's wearing right now. I've posted a bunch of pictures in my classy glasses on Instagram. We'll link them up in the show notes. I'm telling you right now, they are super cute. You're going to think of them as like a fashion accessory. And I've noticed, I always make sure that if I am on my computer at night, like this week I've been doing late night webinars, and the way that I make sure that I don't have that wired but tired feeling is I wear my blue blockers if I'm watching TV with my boyfriend, if I'm working on my computer, if I'm scrolling through my phone. So if that is, you know, you can A, stop watching TV, you know, have a TV curfew, B, consider getting some blue blockers because Sarah looks really cute in hers.
They're adorable. I love them.
They're so cute.
These like, were a gift from Elizabeth and I'm obsessed with them.
I wear them to the store because like I just think they're that cute. I look cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What do we got?
All right. You share so many great things, but what have been the top couple ideas or perspective shifts that have created a pivot or tipping point in your life?
Whew. There's so many. And I think that if you asked me in a month, you would get a different answer than you would get today. And if you had asked me a month ago, you would probably get a different answer. And my answer today is certainly reflective of the things that I'm using the most now or the things that I am talking about most frequently with my clients that help them the most. I would have to start with leave yesterday and tomorrow out of it. because I had this pattern of, well, I was really good yesterday, or I'm going to do better tomorrow, or, well, I've been so good today, incorporating in any regard the past and the future as a justification for a present moment decision. Yeah, no, none of that. The perspective of very simply, and eliminates so much of the negotiating and the back and forth and this and the that. What is my best in this moment? What is going to make me feel my best? That has been so major. So that's one. The other would be a problem solver. Instead of staying in the problem, and I have my moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this sucks. This is ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Move quickly to the solution. How do we make this right? Instead of how I feel about the problem, instead of what I can't do, instead of what I'm worried about, what can I do to affect a solution here? And then I guess we'll just have one more here, which would be, I create my results. So when I am worried about something or fearful about something, or I don't like something, whether it is, you know, the way my arms look or how much money is in my bank account or anything like that, I create my results. So instead of feeling bad about the way something is, I want to redirect quickly to what I can do to change it because, and this kind of piggybacks on the other one, but I guess it's a more defined notion of that, be a problem solver. I create my results. So where I am right now was created by me, and where I am a month from now is created by me, so let's get to work.
I'm not really even convinced that you sleep at all, but I will ask this question anyway. You get up very early. What time do you go to bed, and on average, how many hours of sleep do you get?
It varies. So this week is an anomaly, but I'll start with the anomaly. This week is different because I've had evening webinars. I had 5 webinars over 4 nights, and I've got another webinar in a couple days with my master's club. So I am staying up later and still getting up at the same time, only because it's you know, registration open for the 12 weeks to transformation. But even with that, I'm probably in bed by 11, 11:30 and up at 4:30 or 5. Is that ideal and optimal? No, but as with all things, it's for a short term and it'll be fine. In general, the average is I go to bed at 10 and get up at 4:30 or 5. My alarm is usually set for 5. Sometimes I wake up before then, and if I wake up, I get up. If I am tired, I sleep more. And my preference is to go to bed earlier rather than to wake up earlier. That is just my personal preference. I could do it the other way around, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I say, you know what, I really intentionally need to not set an alarm. Maybe that happens once or twice a month that I just won't set an alarm. And in those cases, it might be 6:15, 6:30 that I wake up. But I love the morning. I just love starting the day early. I look forward to coffee. I joke, but I'm not joking, that sleep is my time machine to coffee. So I am happy to get up in the morning. It's been a little bit different since moving in with my boyfriend, but when I lived alone, if I was super tired, I'd go to bed at 8:30, you know, and that might happen once or twice a month. It certainly isn't a regular thing. I don't think that's happened once since I've been here and living with him, just because, you know, evening time socialization. But if I'm tired, I sleep more. And the other piece of it is, when I feel like my energy is a little low, and like this week, for example, sleeping more is not something that's going to happen this week. It will absolutely happen next week. But that means that eating better is a bigger priority. That means that working out is a bigger priority. So I'm looking at other things that I do to increase my energy, to really support stamina and recovery and all of those things when sleep is a little short.
How do you feel about the popular keto diet? I'm an advanced stage insulin-dependent diabetic.
Keto. I think keto is largely misunderstood. We could talk about this for like hours and hours and hours. First and foremost, I've done a bunch of episodes on ketogenic diets, on ketosis, all of that stuff. So if you are really curious about ketogenic diets and my thoughts on it, the best thing to do is go to primalpotential.com/578, the show notes for today's episode, and I will link up all the episodes I've done on the past in the past on ketogenic diets. A lot like one meal a day. I think it comes down to, does it work for you? Do you feel amazing? Are you taking impeccable care of yourself? If you are going through a ketogenic diet, mixing up cream cheese and stevia and cocoa powder, you're not taking impeccable care of yourself, right? If all you eat are fat bombs and bacon, like, okay, you're adhering to a ketogenic diet, but you're not doing it well. And a lot like the budget question, a ketogenic diet can be done brilliantly with really nutrient-dense food and impeccable self-care, and it can be done terribly. But the same thing is true for everything. The same thing is true for a vegan diet. The same thing is true for a paleo diet. So my thought is, are you doing it in a way where you are taking impeccable care of yourself? For me personally, and every body is different. Every body, every human, based on the way they metabolize carbohydrates, their sensitivity to carbohydrates, requires a different amount of carbohydrate to be in ketosis. I am not willing to cut back my non-starchy vegetables enough to get into that ketogenic state on a regular basis. Now, I have some days where maybe I didn't have any cauliflower or Brussels sprouts or broccoli on hand, and so the day was more keto for my body. But I don't subscribe to any way of eating as the way always. So when people say, Elizabeth, are you keto? Well, maybe I was yesterday, but maybe I'm not today. And it would look different. And there are many people who, if they ate the way that I eat consistently, it would be a state of ketosis for them. But it's not for me because of my carb sensitivity. I would have to really dial back my non-starchy vegetables, which are primarily fiber, but do have some carbohydrate. I would have to dial them really back to be in a state of ketosis. Do I think that it is inherently dangerous? No, I don't. I actually think there are a ton of health benefits. But the bigger picture is, are you doing it well? Meaning you're not loading yourself up with things that aren't super nutrient dense. So we are not just doing, you know, butter and cream cheese and bacon. But if you're doing a coconut and avocado and still getting in a lot of vegetables and getting in enough protein, can it be done well? Yes, absolutely. Then it comes down to, do you feel great? Do you love it? And is it sustainable for you? But I dive deeper into that in a lot of past episodes, so I will link those up.
I'm glad someone asked this question. Does the 12 weeks to transformation coaching center around only weight loss, or can it be customized for any life goals you want to attain?
That is a great question. And the first thing I will say is go to the show notes and check out that 4-part Changemaker series, because the whole reason we did that 4-night workshop was to address how in the world is it that so many people go into the 12 weeks to transformation with one goal and come out saying, well, I went into it for this, but it saved my marriage, or now I'm making more money than I've made before, or I feel so much more confident. How is it that that happens? And it's because of this four-part. There might be 4 farts. We're talking about broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Four parts. Farts not included. Farts sold separately. This 4-part framework of alignment, awareness, advancement, and adjustment allows the strategies and the tools to fuel every aspect of your life. It is not in any way, not in any way centered around weight loss. It's not in any way centered around food. It is in every way centered around creating change in your life, whatever that change is. And all of the challenges that we go through each week, what we're trying to do is apply them to as many areas of life as possible. Because let's just say you come in with the goal of weight loss, and we're working on a challenge that's centered around awareness. Well, I don't just want you increasing your awareness of food, because you're going to get in less practice, when instead what we do is focus on increasing awareness in every situation in your day. We will get better that much faster because we're practicing that much more. So, great question. No, the 12 weeks to transformation is not about weight loss, though if weight loss is your goal, we will absolutely check that box. It is about creating change in your life, change that you sustain, and change where you really enjoy the process.
So this next person says, I am good at abstinence, but if I have a treat, I'm off the rails for the rest of the day. I want to be able to have an occasional treat and not use that as an excuse for what the hell for the rest of the day.
So if you tell yourself, if I have a treat, I'm off the rails the rest of the day, you have decided that it is so. You are taking the past and you are using it as a permission slip for the present and the future. Maybe it is true that that has happened in the past, but this is not a treat problem. This is a perspective problem. It is just not true that if you have a treat, you're off the rails for the rest of the day. Because if I said to you, I'm going to give you a cookie, and if you eat well for the rest of the day and you don't have any more sugar, you don't have any more processed foods, I'm going to give you $1 million in the morning, you would look at me like I was crazy. Like, what's the catch? It would be the easiest challenge in the world. Nothing changed about your capacity, your capability. The only thing that changed is your perspective. So if you tell yourself, this is what happens. If I have a treat, then I'm off the rails. If I have a treat, then I have no control. Well, are you surprised when that's the way it goes? Of course not. You must change this story, this perspective, and you must go to the show notes and you must listen to Changemaker Part 2 on alignment. Do not stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You must listen to that and also the podcast on limiting beliefs.
When is the cookbook coming out?
You know what's really funny is people would say, are you going to write a cookbook? Are you going to write a cookbook? And I was like, I've always said, no, I don't even really cook. I just like assemble a bunch of things and I'm so simple and I don't like recipes and all of this. And you know, now I'm starting to shift that to be like, maybe that's exactly why I should make a cookbook, because there are a lot of people like me who don't want to cook, who don't like complexity, who want to keep it really simple, who just want to use a few ingredients. So there is no answer. There is no cookbook right now, but I am increasingly open to the idea because I think of myself as an assembler. Like do I have recipes? People be like, what's the recipe? I don't know. Just put this stuff together. Like that's all it is. So for people like me who don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen, who absolutely hate any meal that requires more than one pot, maybe it's something I'll do someday.
And last question. How do I get out of a binge streak and get back on track?
Binge streak. I don't think you should ever use the word binge ever again. You, me, anybody. Because what it is a choice. And when we label it with a word like binge, we are infusing it with all kinds of drama. Okay, what happened without the label, without the story, without the drama? You ate more than your body needed, right? You started and you kept going. You made a series of choices. The end. Well, this is no different than any choice. Good choice, choice you feel great about, choice you feel terrible about. Get right to the next best choice. It is never, like, we don't need to compensate for it. We don't need to make up for it. We just get back as quickly as possible, return as quickly as possible to the next best choice. We do not need a strategy. We do not need a detox. We need to have an operating system of no matter what happens, great choice, not so great choice, attention, inattention. I move as quickly as possible to my next best choice. So, yeah. That's that. Now, Sarah, this is now what, podcast 3 for you?
It is.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better.
Yeah, you feel like you're feeling much better.
Thank you.
You know what I think it is?
What's that?
The headset.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I probably look like such a dork right now.
No.
But yeah, I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah. It's like profesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a fan. All right, guys, I love getting your questions, your challenges. I want to keep this going. You can send podcast topic requests, questions, challenges, anything like that, just go to primalpotential.com/inbox. All the resources that we talked about today will be in the show notes, primalpotential.com/578. And do not forget that registration is only open for about another week for the spring 12 weeks to transformation. So if you want to get it in gear, if you want to live up to and into your potential and stop with the patterns, stop with the past behavior, stop with the limiting belief, stop with the fear and the doubt, and just work together. You're not doing it on your own. Have me as a coach, have the structure, have the systems, have the daily encouragement, prevent the drifting. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm going to put the link to where you can learn more. Anybody who is serious about this, you've got to watch the whole webinar from March 20th because I want you to know what we're talking about. I want you to understand the identity journal. I want you to understand the daily coaching audios. I want you to understand the structure of the weekly challenges and why and how this has nothing to do with dieting or weight loss. It has to do with creating change that you sustain in a way that helps you enjoy the process. We also go into my coaching philosophy, my accessibility, how I ensure that people don't drift, don't quit, what that process looks like, the financial investment, the payment options, all of that will be linked up in the show notes. Don't wait. Do not let fear keep you stuck in a struggle that you can move beyond. I would love the opportunity to work with you, and I hope you have a really wonderful day. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.